I was perched in. Bianca. The woman had taken over my thoughts for the last day and a half. Consumed might have been the more appropriate term. With more than 2 hours until part two of our online interview, I decided to pass the excruciating wait by having Jay touch base with her. Even though I detested texting and preferred to pick up the phone or write an appropriately composed email, texting felt more like something Jay would do. Jay, how was your stress level today? Did it require fondling your balls in the company of strange men in dark places? I tossed back the rest of my scotch and slouched into my couch, stretching my long legs out in front of me. Not entirely different than the two douche suits in the park yesterday. Only, I wasn't about to trip an old lady. Bianca took more than a half hour to answer, and I'd started to wonder if she was going to blow off Jay. But then the dots started jumping around. Bianca. Sorry, was in the shower, and today was peaceful, actually. I worked on a story, then went to go visit my mother. No ball fondling necessary. For you, maybe. But now that I was thinking of Bianca in the shower, there might be some ball fondling on my end. I probably should have eased into being a perv, but I couldn't help myself. Jay. Shower, huh? Bianca. Get your mind out of the gutter. You're a long way from washing my back. You haven't even scored your first kiss yet. Yet. Sometimes it was one word that exposed my competitor's hand. I smiled to myself. That kiss was a foregone conclusion in her mind. Maybe I could quit slicing my fingers to shit then. Although, I spoke too soon. She texted back before I had a chance to respond again. Bianca. Speaking of kisses, what are you whittling me? Jay. What would you like? Bianca. What is your signature piece? I'm pretty damn good at making wood blocks into uneven sticks. Jay. How about an animal of some type? I'd seen some animal patterns online with step-by-step instructions. Once I'd mastered control of the gouges, how hard could it be? There was one video where a 10-year-old boy carved a fish in less than 5 minutes. Bianca. An animal sounds great. Jay. So when is this little exchange happening? My wood for a kiss. Bianca. LOL. I know you smirked when you wrote that last line. My wood for a kiss. I smirked. Again. Jay. Are you suggesting I'm a pervert? Bianca. I am. Jay. And how do you feel about perverts? The little dots jumped and then stopped a few times. I was extremely curious at what her response would be this time. Bianca. I actually like a little deviant in my men, I'm finding. Although the thought of her liking a little deviant made my cock twitch with delight, something didn't sit right with me about her last two words. I'm finding. It made me wonder if she was referring to Dex's actions last night. Sending her half-naked selfies certainly fell into the realm of deviant behavior. I wondered if she would tell me about him. About me. Jay. Any plans for this evening? She took a moment to respond. Bianca. Just going to do some work later. Technically, she was telling the truth. Dex was work. Jay. How about dinner Thursday night? Bianca. Can't. I have plans already. Friday? Plans? Did she have a date? I had no right to grow annoyed, but that didn't stop me from feeling that way. In fact, I had a date myself on Friday night. Some mundane banquet that I was scheduled to take Caroline to. Jay. Busy Friday. Saturday? Bianca. I'm actually going out of town Saturday afternoon for an assignment. Maybe the next weekend will work out. There was no damn way I was waiting a full week to see her again. I didn't hesitate when I made my decision. Jay. I'll cancel my plans for Friday. Pick you up at 7? Bianca. Okay, sure. Jay had a date with Bianca for 2 nights from now, and Dex was gearing up for his 11 p.m. chat. What had this woman done to me? Promptly at 11, the online chat box popped up on my laptop. Bianca. Good evening, Mr. Truitt. Dex. Yes, it is, Ms. George. Are you ready for round two? Bianca. I am. I gave a lot of thought to our discussion last night, and you were right. Dex, I usually am. You'll need to be more specific. Bianca, I meant that I think the article should focus more on you personally and less on the business angle of things. I like the sound of that. Focus more on me, Georgie girl. Dex, are you telling me that your questions are going to be more intimate this evening? Because our deal still stands. Question for a question, Ms. George. Bianca, I can take whatever I dish out. You ready? My dick twitched. Down, boy. She was talking to Mr. Truitt. Dex, I'm always ready, Ms. George. Bianca, first question, are you in a committed relationship? Dex, I date, but no, I'm not in a committed relationship. It was the truth. I should probably be committed after the last 2 days, but my relationship with Caroline was open. We served a purpose for one another, attending required business functions and providing sexual gratification. Don't get me wrong, I liked Caroline, and I was pretty sure she liked me. But neither of us wanted more from what we had. Bianca, would you like to have children someday? Dex, not so fast, Ms. George. I believe you've skipped my turn. Are you in a committed relationship? Bianca, no, I was, but it ended. Dex, what happened? Bianca, long story, I'll give you the abbreviated version. Stockbroker, engaged, liar, end of engagement. Fuck. I needed to know more. This didn't sound like it would bode well for me. Dex, what did he lie about? Bianca, I've already answered 2 questions. I believe you're now the one who is skipping turns. Dex, fine. What was the last question she asked me? Oh, yes, children. It dawned on me that I'd been seeing Caroline for the better part of a year, and she'd never inquired about whether I saw my future, including a bunch of rugrats. Dex, yes, I do want children, but I don't want them raised by a nanny. I loved Shuggy, don't get me wrong, but I think children should be raised by their parents, if it is feasible. My turn. What did your fiancé lie about? Bianca. Everything. Anything. You name it. He lied. Dex. He was cheating on you then? Bianca. No, I don't think so. He just lied. To clients, to our boss, what his bank balance was, it didn't really matter. In hindsight, I think he got off on it in some ways. Dex. So this factors into your dislike for rich and powerful men? Bianca. Maybe. I've never thought about that. But I don't think my dislike of liars is related to only rich men. My father wasn't particularly rich, and he lied. I just prefer the simple things in life, like the truth. My hole I had dug for myself had just bottomed out, and I had no idea how I was going to get out of it unscathed. The smart thing would have been to stop playing this game right now, but of course I didn't. I continued for more than an hour, answering and asking personal questions. The more I asked, the more addicted I became. I wanted to know everything there was to know about Bianca George. When we were wrapping things up for the evening, her last question brought me to a moment of truth. Bianca, my deadline is at the end of the month. I'd like to finish this interview in person. We'll continue our 11 p.m. chats in the meantime, but I'd really like to meet face-to-face at least once. No pictures, of course. I hesitated before responding. Dex. Okay, yes. We can meet at the end. Shit. Chapter 6. Dex. Not even wetting my wood helped. Tonight was my date with Bianca, and I hadn't been able to whittle a fucking pencil, much less an animal. Clement, my little blonde nemesis as I'd come to think of him, the 10-year-old from the YouTube video, had to be a ringer, because this shit was not easy. Frustrated and calling it quits, I put down the carving tool and decided Bianca wouldn't be getting a small wooden animal. I, however, was getting that kiss one way or the other. Later in the afternoon, my phone chimed, announcing a new text had arrived. Bianca's name illuminated on the screen. I immediately swiped to open. Bianca. Where are we going? Jay. I made reservations at an Ethiopian place. Bianca. Which place? I'll look it up. I want to know how to dress. It didn't matter how fancy the place was. It could have been a roadside trailer, and my answer would have been the same. Jay. Wear something sexy. Bianca. I can do that. Winking smiley face. Jay. Good. I look forward to it. See you in a few hours. Bianca. Okay. Don't forget my carving. I'm looking forward to our exchange. To Dumbo, Sam. I climbed into the back seat. Brooklyn? Sure thing, Mr. Truitt. Where are we heading? I grumbled. Anchorage Place, the Brooklyn Flea. My secretary had printed out a map, but it wasn't doing much good once we arrived. There had to be at least 100 tents set up as I wandered around trying to find booth G45. When I'd asked Josephine to locate a shop that sold small wood-carved crafts, such as animals, I was certain she thought she was witnessing the first signs of my nervous breakdown. I was starting to think she was on to something. The Brooklyn Flea Market was apparently home to a number of handmade and unique crafters, one of which was a gentleman who also sold his wooden carvings on a website, Jelani's Kenyan Crafts. Just my luck, Jelani also sold his wares at the flea market, which happened to be open today instead of just Sunday this week, since it was the Dumbo Heritage Festival. Eyeing a long table at the end of an aisle I'd just turned down, I was relieved to see a tall, black-skinned man wearing a colorful African hat and holding a carved wooden cane. As I came upon him, I saw that his table was filled with small, hand-carved animals. Mentally, I made a note to give Josephine a raise when I returned on Monday. I perused the selection of carvings, admiring the beautiful craftsmanship. A week ago, I would have passed by and not taken the time to appreciate the work that had gone into these pieces, the skill and patience that they represented. But now, I was impressed by Jelani's work. These are beautiful. Thank you. Are you looking for a gift? I am, for a woman. Ah, Jelani nodded like he understood. That makes one of us. He held up a small walrus. Perhaps you can choose one based upon the special lady's spirit animal. The walrus is the keeper of secrets. He set it back down on the table and picked up another one. It was a billy goat, with two horns at the top of its head that curled back and then rounded back to the front. The billy goat animal totem's lifestyle is about power. It's independent, strong, and intelligent. They are curious, yet picky. I'll take the goat. Jelani smiled. He rang me up and slipped my purchase into a small brown bag. Handing it to me, he said, "Watch out for the billy goats. Their horns are strong enough to impale you if you cross them." Great. Just fucking great. Caroline was not a happy camper that I'd canceled our date to the banquet. I'd told her I wasn't feeling well, probably the first time I'd ever used the sick card in my life, but being here with Bianca was worth it. She was wearing a fitted brown dress that exposed one shoulder. The color brought out the caramel in her eyes and complemented her raven-colored hair. She was a dark beauty. Of course, while Dex knew the answer from earlier conversations, Jay had to ask, "What nationality are you?" 100% Greek. You? My mother is Italian and French. My father is English. It was difficult not to stare at her from across the table. I couldn't even concentrate on the menu, which featured a bunch of stuff I didn't recognize anyway. I'd picked Bianca up in a car I'd rented just for Jay. I figured him for a Jeep kind of guy. I had to really stop and think about what to wear, too. Dex would have probably worn a custom-tailored Armani dress shirt. Jay was more casual. I'd settled on a basic black polo and dark jeans. Looking around the table, I said, "I think they forgot to give us silverware." "No, you eat Ethiopian food with your hands." "Oh, I didn't realize." "You've never had it before?" "Never." "Well, I love it. Only had it a couple of times. I love trying new things." "I love how adventurous you seem to be." "When it comes to some things, yes," she smiled. "I can't wait to find out more about those things, Georgie girl." I locked my feet around hers under the table. "I'll let you order for us since you know this food. What were you thinking of?"
"What?"
"What are we eating?" I clarified.
"Not what, what. That's the answer for what we're getting. What? It's a mixture of meat, sauce, and spices, like an aromatic stew. And there's this bread called injera that you use to scoop the food up with. You'll love it. You like spicy food?"
"I do."
After we ordered, I got antsy to be closer to her. So, I moved to the other side of the table. Her tone was playful.
What are you doing?
I'd prefer to sit next to you. Is that okay?
Yes, it's more than okay.
When I placed my hand around her wrist, she looked down at my Rolex. Her eyes widened.
That's a $10,000 watch. Does your bike messenger service do that well?
It was $20,000, actually. Shit. We have good months. I reward myself sometimes.
Nothing wrong with that. People who don't live in excess can really splurge and appreciate nice things once in a while.
Right. She continued.
Speaking of nice things, I didn't see that you brought anything that you whittled for me.
Don't worry. It's in the glove compartment of my car. I didn't want to press my luck in presenting it to you right off the bat.
I'm looking forward to seeing what you made.
I rubbed my thumb along her hand. I'm looking forward to what comes after. Our eyes locked. God, she was beautiful, and it took everything in me not to lean in and taste those plump lips. The waitress came and interrupted our moment, placing a large oval dish in the middle of the table. It was an array of brown and orange-looking sauces with meats and vegetables. Pieces of thin bread were rolled up around the edges of the plate.
You're going to have to show me how to eat this.
Well, we basically use the bread to scoop it up. I've read that it's customary in the Ethiopian culture to feed each other, actually.
I cocked an eyebrow.
You going to feed me?
If you want.
I like the idea of this. Feed me now. I'll eat you later. I would love nothing more. She unraveled the bread with her delicate fingers before scooping out some of the mixture. She then rolled it and gently brought it into my mouth. I made sure to touch my tongue against her hand as she did it. She fed me repeatedly, and I eagerly awaited each and every bite. It was sensual and intimate, and there wasn't anything else in the world I would rather have been doing.
Your turn to feed me, she said.
As I attempted to repeat Bianca's perfect feeding process, I managed to get some of the spicy sauce into the small wounds on my fingers.
Ouch,
I groaned.
Are you okay?
I couldn't help but laugh at myself. Yeah, I have a couple of cuts on my hand. The spices sting. I wasn't expecting that.
I'm sorry, how did you cut yourself?
Well, this was one opportunity to actually tell the truth. Whittling.
I didn't realize it was that dangerous.
Yeah, it's serious business. I tried again, scooping up some of the wat into the bread and then rolling it. When I placed it into her mouth, I let my fingers linger over her lower lip as she chewed.
Mmm, she said. This is so good, right?
So good, I muttered, watching the movement of her lips and yearning to lick the remnants of sauce off of them. What other cultures don't use forks?
I don't know of any offhand. Why?
Because I'm thinking this could be, like, our thing.
Yeah? We already have a thing so soon?
Why not? The next time I fed her, I did a sloppy job. Some of the food spilled onto her chin.
This may not be your forte, Jay Reed.
I couldn't help myself when I said, cleaning it up is. I leaned in and licked it slowly off her chin. When she closed her eyes and let out a little sigh, I took that as a sign that she wanted more. Fuck the goat. I realized that it wasn't supposed to happen this way. I was supposed to wait to get my whittling prize, but I just couldn't help it. Placing my mouth over hers, I full-on kissed her. My hand was wrapped around the back of her neck as she moaned into my mouth while I devoured her harder, flicking my tongue around the inside of her mouth, desperate to taste nothing any more but her. When a waiter came by to pour water into our glasses, she pulled back. Her face was flush, and she seemed embarrassed. I, on the other hand, couldn't have given a shit who'd witnessed our PDA. Rock hard and totally fucked, I was in no way prepared to lose this girl anytime soon. One thing was undeniable. The sexual chemistry between Jay and Bianca was off the charts. And I wasn't ready to let Dex ruin it just yet until I had a better feel for what her reaction might be if and when I told her the truth. This time spent with her was possibly all I would ever have. Jay needed to exist just a little while longer. She cleared her throat and said,
"Well, I wasn't expecting that."
Neither was I, but you're making me a little crazy, Bianca. It dawned on me that I hadn't been making much of an effort to get to know her better tonight, hadn't asked any personal questions throughout dinner. That was partly because I was ill-prepared to talk about myself as Jay. Dex had spent so much time getting to know her intimately that Jay apparently felt he knew everything he needed to. It would have seemed like I was uninterested if I didn't pry into her personal life at least a little bit. So, I spent the next several minutes asking her about her childhood, her last relationship, her career, things I already knew. I did my best to answer the questions she threw at me, but the more we talked, the more I was feeling extremely guilty for letting this charade go on. Bianca had a hungry look in her eyes. She was most definitely attracted to me, and I was pretty sure I wouldn't be needing many wooden sculptures to get into her pants. That was messed up. Dex was pissed at Jay for even thinking about fucking her, and Jay was annoyed at Dex for judging him for thoughts that came naturally. Perhaps Dex and Jay should have both called ahead to secure some space at the insane asylum. From the food to the kissing, dinner was phenomenal. Once we returned to the Jeep, she turned to me and smiled. It's time. I want my present now. I guess I did things a little ass backwards tonight, huh? Reaching into the glove compartment, I actually felt nervous about it. Handing the wooden figurine to her, I said, "This is for you." Bianca covered her mouth. "Oh my God, is this a goat?" "Yep, a billy goat." She marveled at it.
"Look at all of the detail. I can't believe you did this."
"Neither could I."
"Look at the horns," she laughed.
"Well, I'm a horny kind of guy." She rolled her eyes. I winked. "You like it?"
"Yes. I would really love to see you in action at some point. Watch you whittle."
"Ugh." "Yeah, maybe. It's something I kind of do by myself to relieve stress. I've never done it in front of an audience before. I'll have to work up to that."
"Well, clearly, based on the state of your fingers, it's not easy."
"Yes, harder than you think."
"That makes what you carved for me even more special. Thank you."
Guilt was suddenly consuming me.
"You're welcome, Bianca."
I stared out the window for a bit, trying to snap myself out of the shitty feeling. "Where would you like to go next?"
"I have to be home by 10:45, actually."
"Oh?"
"Yeah, I have some work I have to do."
"Work?"
"It's actually my ongoing interview with Dexter Truitt. It's via online chat."
I sucked in my jaw. "Mr. Moneybags?"
"Yeah, rather than one sit-down interview, he scheduled me in during the evenings, 11 each night, Monday through Friday. I guess that time works best for him."
"So you have to bend over backwards to accommodate his schedule?" Two things were wrong with that question. One, I was making Dex look bad. Two, I was getting hard thinking about her bending over backwards with her legs open for Dex. Again, fucked up.
"Actually, it's worked out well to have a set time at night. His daytime schedule is too full. It won't be forever. My deadline is coming up at the end of the month."
"Funny you should say that. So is mine."
"Okay, well, we have at least an hour before I have to drop you home. What would you like to do?"
"Honestly, I would love to see where you live if it's not too far from me in Soho. Maybe have a cup of coffee."
"Really?"
"I hope asking to go to your apartment doesn't sound too presumptuous."
"No, not at all."
The reality of how far I'd taken this Jay lie really hit me in the moment. Knowing that my alter ego was going to need a place to take Bianca to, I had rented a furnished apartment through an agency on a month-to-month agreement. How had I gotten myself here? If what I'd done ever came out, it was going to sound dirty, like I'd rented a fuck pad somewhere. When the truth of the matter was, I was inexplicably crazy about this woman and kept digging myself deeper in an attempt to buy more time with her. The entire thing made no sense to me. How would I ever get her to understand that deep down I'd done all this with the best of intentions? She smiled at me with those big brown eyes, and somehow I justified my actions. Again.
"What part of the city do you live in?"
I had to think. Where did I live? I hadn't had a chance to visit the place yet, even though Josephine had gotten me the key. This was going to be a risk, but I didn't know how to get out of it.
I checked my phone, pretending to look at the time, and instead discreetly checked my email for the address of my house. I live in NoHo.
That's perfect, then, she grinned.
Yeah, perfect.
An old man who apparently lived next to me gave us the evil eye as we stood in front of my door. Then he disappeared into his own apartment.
You don't normally say hello to your neighbors?
Not when they don't know who the fuck I am, no. That guy doesn't like me very much. He's always complaining when I play music. Upon opening the door and getting a look at what we were stepping into, I was ready to kill someone. This looked nothing like the furnished apartment I saw online. The decor was tacky and ostentatious with lots of white, purple, and gold accents. I was completely speechless. How the hell was I going to explain this one? Things took an even weirder turn when I spotted a humongous portrait of Elvis hanging on the wall, and in the corner was a life-size statue of Liza Minnelli. Bianca's mouth was hanging open.
This is my aunt's place, I quickly said.
She died and left me the apartment. I haven't had the heart to change her signature style.
That's so sweet of you. How long ago did she pass away?
About a year now. Eventually I'll redecorate, but it just seems too soon. She rubbed my shoulder.
I can understand that.
God, I was getting so fucking sick of this. I just wanted to take her into my arms and tell her everything. Why couldn't I? She basically answered my question when she suddenly gripped the material of my shirt and pulled me into a kiss. That was why. I was going to lose this. Nope, I wasn't ready to tell her anything because there was a very good chance I would never get to feel this again. She didn't like liars, and you, Dexter Truitt, Jay Reed, whoever you are a liar. A coldness replaced the warmth of her body as she stepped away.
Can I use your bathroom?
Sure, it's actually... Where the fuck was it? Let me just check and make sure it's presentable. I might have left some laundry on the floor this morning, not expecting you to come back here. Be right back. My heart was pounding as I ventured down the hall, opening each door until I found the bathroom. Thank fuck I checked it. There was a huge stack of porn magazines next to the toilet. Without thinking it through, I opened the bathroom window and threw them out, praying they didn't hit anyone on the head on the street below. Beads of sweat were forming on my forehead at the mere thought of having to explain that one to her.
Everything's decent, I said, returning to the living room.
Last door straight ahead down the hall. With every second that she was in the bathroom, I became more and more paranoid about being in this place, about what else she might find. I remembered she mentioned coffee. Considering the cupboards were likely empty, I made a decision to get us the hell out of here. We'd passed a Starbucks around the corner on the way in. I'd suggest we go there. When she emerged, I said,
I just remembered I'm all out of coffee. How about we head out for some before I have to take you home?
Okay, that would be nice. By the way, why does it smell like mothballs in this place?
That's a great question, Bianca George.
I had to use them. Major moth problem.
I fucking hated this. I would have wanted nothing more than to spend time with her in my real apartment. The next time I ever brought her back to this place, I would make sure it was inspected from top to bottom, fumigated, and stocked full of her favorite things. Once at the coffee shop, we nestled into a corner couch and sipped our cappuccinos. She would be mid-conversation, and I'd interrupt her by eating her words with a kiss. Each time I did, she'd let out a sound. I loved the feeling of her moans vibrating down my throat. When 10:30 rolled around, she looked at her phone.
I really have to go.
You can't be a little late for your meeting with Mr. Moneybags.
No, it's unprofessional.
To be honest, it irked me a little that she chose not to cancel on Dex. I actually had to remind myself that we were rooting for Dex. And by we, I meant Jay and Dex, me. Deep down, we were both rooting for Dex. So, why was Jay fucking pissed? I reluctantly dropped her off at her apartment before speeding back to my actual residence. Once home, I needed to calm down before transforming back into myself. I noticed she was online and sent her a quick message. Dex, running a bit late, give me 10 minutes.
Without waiting for a response, I retreated to the shower and rubbed one out to the memories of her moaning into my mouth, imagining that we were doing a lot more than just kissing. Chapter 7. Dex. My release had brought me a moment of clarity. Dex needs to win Bianca over from Jay. As fucked up as that sounded, if she liked real me more than the fake me, it gave me a better shot at her accepting that real me was worth looking past all the lies I'd told. Maybe I was fucking delusional in addition to being newly schizophrenic. But at this point, it was the only plan I had. I needed to at least start to feel her out. Dex. Hello, Bianca. I'm here now. Sorry about the delay. How has your evening been? Bianca. It was very good, thank you. Dex. What did you do? Bianca. I had a date, actually. Dex. A date that ended before 11? Couldn't have been very good. Bianca. My work takes priority. Dex. I still maintain that it could have been better if you chose not to blow me off. Bianca. It was amazing, actually. It was amazing. I could still taste her on my tongue, and there were still so many more places I wanted to taste her. Bianca. Are you there? Dex. Yes. Tell me about your date. What was so amazing about it? Bianca. Well, you know how with most people you spend a little time with them and the puzzle pieces fall into place? You sort of get the full picture after you connect a few of the odd shapes? Dex. I suppose. Bianca. I feel like this guy is a 10,000-piece puzzle and it's going to take a long time to see the picture. Dex. And that's a good thing? Bianca. It is. It means he has many layers. I wasn't sure I agreed with her. The thing she liked best about Jay was his layers, but most of them were bandages to cover lies. Dex. Tell me what you liked best about him. Bianca. You want the truth? Dex. Of course. Bianca. The way he kissed me. I could feel he was trying to hold back, but at some point, he lost the battle. I liked that his attraction to me seemed to be uncontrollable. It made me feel sexy. I had to laugh to myself. I thought I was doing such a great job hiding what being around her did to me. I guess I was way more transparent than I thought. Bianca. BTW. I think we have our roles reversed tonight. I'm the one who is supposed to be interviewing you. Dex. I find hearing about you way more interesting than telling you about myself. She was quiet for a minute or two after that. I knew I shouldn't be pushing, but what the fuck? I was in this deep. Dex. Are you in this jigsaw dating exclusively? Bianca. No, we're not there yet. I don't have any dates with other men planned, but that's not intentional. Dex. So, if, say, a handsome, young, wealthy man with a six-pack were to ask you out on a date, you'd be open to the invitation then? Bianca. Are you referring to yourself? Dex. Maybe. I waited eagerly for her response. When it came, my stomach sank. Bianca. Then no. My mood sucked after that answer. I was pissed and just wanted to get the rest of our chat over with. She had no interest in the real me and would rather spend time getting to know a man who lived in his dead aunt's apartment and whittled. Dex. Why don't we get started with your interview? For the next 30 minutes, Bianca asked me questions. Since I was feeling ornery, my answers were less candid than I'd been the last two times we'd chatted. Toward the end, she mentioned she was going to be away on a business trip and planned to use the time to go through her notes and write up a draft of her story. She'd suggested we chat next week so that she could fill in any holes in her story, and I'd agreed. Dex. How about next Tuesday at our regular time? Bianca. That would be great. Dex. Have a safe trip, Bianca. Bianca. Thank you. Feeling utterly deflated, I was just about to shut my laptop when another message popped up from her. Bianca. Dex, are you still there? Dex. I am. Bianca.
For the record, I have a firm rule that I don't date men anymore whom I have a business relationship with.
Dex, does that rule apply after your business with a man concludes? She took a bit longer to respond that time.
Bianca, no, I don't think that rule would apply once my business was concluded.
Fuck you, Jay. Game back on.
Dex, good to know.
Sweet dreams, Bianca.
The next afternoon, traffic was even heavier than usual. The meeting I'd slated 1 hour for had turned into a 3 hour unproductive waste of time. I looked at my watch when the light turned red again. We hadn't made it more than 4 car lengths and 2 damn green lights. There was a heaping pile of documents waiting for review back on my desk, and my secretary would be gone by the time we made it across town. I emailed Josephine and asked her to order me some dinner to the office before she left and to pull the files I knew I'd need to get my work done tonight if I ever arrived. Frustrated, I rested my head back against the leather seat and stared out the window thinking about Bianca. Last night, she'd led me to believe she would be willing to go out with me, the Dex me, at the end of our chat, which had to mean she felt some sort of connection to the real me. I just couldn't figure out how I was going to get out of the mess I'd gotten myself into. If there was one thing I had learned in business, it was that anything was possible if you wanted it bad enough. Perhaps that was the key. I needed to look at my situation with Bianca like a business problem. I'd been letting my own emotions get in the way. What would I do if Bianca was a business I wanted to obtain, yet the owner wasn't interested in selling to me? That was easy. I'd get to know that business better, the likes and dislikes of the owner, what made him tick, then use that to show him why I was a good fit to take over his company in a way that was meaningful to him. I shut my eyes for a moment. What makes you tick, Georgie girl? What do you like and dislike and why? I racked my brain for a few minutes and still came up with nothing I could think of that would help me gain an edge. Discouraged, I opened my eyes when we stopped at yet another red light and looked out the window again. To my surprise, the answer was right there in big, bold letters. I was looking for a sign and found a literal one on the corner of West 21st and 7th Avenue. The big storefront sign was illuminated in silver letters. Forever Gray.
Are you here for the 6 o'clock class, sir?
I looked around the room and caught a sign taped to the door advertising that tonight was a training class for new volunteers. Yes, I guess I am here for the class. Any chance you also have a psychotherapy session after that? It was totally normal to make a pit stop to become a greyhound dog walker when I had a full day's work ahead of me this evening, right? Even the woman at the counter thought I'd lost my marbles. She looked me up and down.
That's a pretty nice suit. You do realize these dogs tend to slobber a lot, right?
Yes, I was planning to change before we started. My mind, perhaps? Suzette, as her name tag indicated, thought that was a good idea. Since we had 10 minutes before class started, I filled out the registration form and went back outside to my driver. I'm going to be a while, Sam. He was rightfully confused. I basically yelled at him to stop and then marched into what appeared from the outside to be a pet facility, yet he knew I had no pets.
Is everything okay, sir?
No. Yes. I forgot I'd signed up to volunteer at the Greyhound Rescue tonight. It's part of some charitable thing that Caroline somehow roped me into. This lying thing was really beginning to come naturally now. It wasn't unlike criminal behavior, starting out with petty crimes. One day you're whacking a gumball machine on its side to make a plastic container filled with a broken ring pop out, and before you know it, you're robbing a bank at gunpoint. Why don't you take off? I'll grab a cab back up to the office when I'm done here. After Sam drove away, I stood outside of Forever Gray and looked up and down the street to see if there was anywhere to pick up a change of clothes. Finding a Modell's sporting goods store, I headed over and grabbed some sweats, a t-shirt, and running shoes. Ironically, it was almost the same outfit that Jay had on when he met Bianca in that elevator. That actually seemed fitting for some reason. 10 minutes into the class, I realized that dog walking was more complicated than I thought. Length of leash, walking in front of the canine rather than behind him to show which one of us was the pack leader, rewarding positive behavior, socializing the dog, and here I always thought you clicked on a leash and the rest took care of itself. My greyhound was a 3-year-old named Bandit. Suzette informed me that Bandit had torn his cruciate ligament during a race, and although he was perfectly fine as a pet, he was no longer a contender when it came to dog racing. As such, his owner was going to put him down, hence how he came to be at Forever Grey. After my hour-long training was complete, Bandit and I took a walk on our own. There was a small local park 2 blocks away that allowed dogs, so we set off, me ahead of my short-leashed canine companion. When we got there, even though the sun was already setting, it was still hot and humid. Bandit looked like he needed a break, so I took a seat on a park bench. My trusty companion took a seat too, only he faced my way and stared straight at me.
"What's the matter, buddy? I don't have any more treats for you."
The dog cocked his head and continued to stare at me. I leaned forward and scratched his head.
"You want me to pet you?"
When he inched closer to me and made a sound that sounded an awful lot like a purr, I took that to mean I was doing the right thing. Using both hands, I dug my fingers behind his ears and scratched. As he sat, one of his hind legs began to move in unison with the rhythm of my scratching.
"You like that, huh?"
I got a kick out of watching his leg slow with the speed of my scratch, then speeding up again when I did. At one point, he suddenly jarred forward and began to lick my face.
"Guess this is as good as it gets. You're a smart dog, you know that?"
Bandit licked my face again as if to tell me he agreed with my assessment.
"Tell me, if you're so smart, what makes Bianca tick? Because I can't for the life of me figure that one out. Maybe you've even met her? Long legs, caramel eyes, comes around on Sundays. Smells damn incredible. You'd notice her, buddy, trust me."
I was acting pretty nutty lately, although I wasn't really expecting an answer. But one came, only it wasn't Bandit that spoke.
"Got yourself in a pickle, huh?"
An old lady sat down on the bench next to me. She had a head full of rollers covered by a bright, multicolored scarf and was wearing a hot pink smock. In her hand was a bag full of birdseed, which gave me caution.
"You're not going to feed the birds right now, are you?"
"I'll wait until there aren't any more dogs left in the park."
She lifted her chin toward Bandit.
"From the conversation you were just having with him, it sounds like you're already in hot water. Don't need me calling the pigeons over for your dog to try to chase."
I nodded. "Thank you."
"So what did you do anyway?"
"Pardon?"
"I don't walk as fast as I used to. Heard you telling the pooch you couldn't figure someone named Bianca out."
I sighed. "It's a long story.
Not much I can offer these days except my time. Try me."
I didn't generally talk to strangers. Certainly, I didn't tell them problems with my love life. But hey, why not? I was batshit crazy these days anyway. This was par for the course. I'll give you the short version. Met a woman, lied to her. One lie turned into two, which now seems to have snowballed out of control. The woman shook her head, tisking.
"Since you seem to care about her finding out, I take it you like this lady?"
"I do."
"Whatever it is, you need to come clean. Better to be slapped with the truth than kissed with a lie."
My shoulders slumped. That's exactly what I'd done. Kissed her with a lie, both in the literal and figurative sense. The funny thing is, I lied because I thought I needed to lie for her to give me a shot. But in the end, she was getting to know the real me, and now that one lie is going to make her question all of the truths. The old woman pointed to Bandit.
"Is she a dog lover, like yourself?"
I was too ashamed to tell her that even my dog walking stint was part of my lie.
"She is."
"That's good. I have 6 dogs and 2 cats. Leave them home when I come to feed the pigeons each night. Animal lovers like us are a different breed. I always say, look at how a person treats an animal to know what's in their heart. If she's an animal lover, she already knows how to love unconditionally. It's likely she has a good spirit and has it in her to forgive an old dog like yourself for making a mistake."
"You think?"
"I was married for 43 years. But when I first met my Walter, God rest his soul, he hit the sauce a little too hard one night and kissed a pretty barmaid."
"And you forgave him?"
"Hell no.
I dumped his ass, made him grovel for a good month, went out on a date with a guy I knew he didn't like, and made sure he knew about it. But in the end, I hated the sin, but really missed the sinner.
I laughed. Thanks for the advice, I think. Since I'd kept Bandit out long enough, we said goodbye to the old lady and walked back to Forever Gray. Suzette was waiting in the lobby.
I saw you coming up the street. You two seem to have hit it off.
We did, didn't we? I leaned down and gave the dog one last pet.
Will you be able to donate some time to Dog Walk each week? We can try to put you with Bandit if you've bonded.
I had zero available time, yet. Sure, my calendar is full during the weekdays, but perhaps we can work something in.
How about Sundays?
No, I snapped, perhaps a bit too quick. I meant, it's hard for me to get away on Sundays, but I should be able to figure a time during the week. Do you have a card? I can call you once I figure it out. She reached behind the counter and pulled out a card, handing it to me in exchange for Bandit's leash.
Thank you. I'll be in touch soon, before my sanity returns.
Chapter 8. Bianca. It was starting to feel like I was being blown off. After I returned home from my business trip, I'd texted Jay to let him know I was back, and though we'd exchanged messages for a while, he didn't attempt to nail me down for our next date either. Perhaps he was just busy at work, and I was reading too much into things. While I was a bit disappointed about it, since I thought the chemistry we had on our date was off the charts, there was a part of me that also felt a bit conflicted about my conversations with Dex. Mr. Moneybags had grown on me. And unless I was misreading things, he was also interested in me. My trip out of town gave me the opportunity to pull together my story about the elusive Dexter Truitt, and I'd also done some deeper research. Tonight, I had some questions about his father that I thought might be difficult, but would definitely shed more light on the mysterious man. Promptly at 11, the chat window on my laptop popped up. My pathetic heart started to accelerate, seeing that Dex was already typing to me. Dex. Hello, Bianca. Was it weird that I heard him say my name in a deep, sexy voice? Hello, Bianca. Bianca. Hello, Mr. Truitt. Dex. I thought we'd moved past the formalities. I'd nervously typed that without thinking. He was right. We weren't Mr. Truitt and Ms. George anymore. Bianca. Sorry, habit. Dex. How was your week? Did you miss me? Yes. Bianca. I did think about you a lot. Dex. Tell me more about that. Bianca. Well, I was writing your story, and that had me thinking about you. I left off the fact that I'd saved the candid photo he'd sent me during our first chat, and was staring at his abs while I was writing his story all weekend. That might have had something to do with why he was so difficult to get out of my head this week. Dex. It seems that since I'm not writing a story about you, I have no excuse for thinking about you. No professional excuse, that is. I smiled at the screen. Bianca. Are you saying your thoughts of me are not professional? I chewed my nail watching the screen as Dex typed back. Dex. My thoughts were definitely more of a personal nature. Bianca. Interesting. Dex. They certainly were. Great, I was going to get all hot and bothered at the beginning of the interview. Suddenly, I had no idea what to type in response. Turned out that was okay. Dex. So, how'd my story come out? I was relieved he'd brought us back around to a work discussion. Bianca. I think people are going to enjoy it. I just have a few more questions. Dex. Shoot. There wasn't really a way to soften what I needed to find out, so I went with the direct approach. Bianca. What happened between your father and you? He was silent for a minute. I knew from personal experience what a horrible person Dexter's father was. I specifically chose not to divulge that to Dex. In the end, it didn't matter anymore. My need to get even with Dexter Truitt Sr. seemed less important the more I'd gotten to know his son. They were simply not cut from the same cloth. Dex. As I've divulged before, my father was a liar and a cheat for most of his life. He cheated on my mother for the majority of their marriage and cheated business partners out of money. As a kid, I didn't really understand what type of a person my father was. I'd idolized him, in fact, even though my time with him had always been limited. By the time I was a teenager, he was all over the news for his alleged involvement in some crooked deals. Even though he was somehow always cleared of anything technically illegal, there was nothing he could do to hide the truth about himself from me anymore. So, our relationship was strained for many years because I didn't want to be associated with his bad behavior. As I've told you before, my decision to stay out of the public eye has a lot to do with not wanting to repeat my father's mistakes. I alienated myself from him for a long time, which was wise from a business standpoint. Bianca. And from a personal standpoint? Dex. Well, the guy is still my father. It's not easy to be on bad terms with the person who helped give you life. We've been working on our relationship more over the past few years. He's joined a church down in Florida. Thinks he's found Jesus. He also had a skin cancer scare. I think he's starting to realize that life is too short to live it like a piece of shit. Bianca. So you are slowly learning to forgive him? Dex. I'm trying, yes. It's more about accepting the things I can't change and moving forward. I can't change the fact that he wasn't a very good father to me as a kid, but he wants to be more involved in my adult life now, so that's an opportunity I can choose to take or leave. I don't want to have any regrets, and I know he won't be around forever. Bianca, I think the ability to forgive is an admirable trait. He took a particularly long time to respond this time. Dex, what do you consider worthy of forgiveness? Bianca, what do you mean? Dex, you said once that you don't like liars. Would you forgive someone who lied to you? Bianca, it depends on the reason for the lie. Dex, give me an example. Bianca, if someone lies to protect another person, then I find that forgivable. Like my mother. She lied to me to protect me. My father was having affairs, and she would make up stories to make him look good. In the end, it turned out his indiscretions were what ended their marriage. So, while I don't condone lying, in the case of my mother, I'm able to forgive her because she lied to keep me from being hurt about what my father had done. Once again, his response was delayed. Dex, are there any other situations in which you might forgive someone for lying? I had to think about that. In general, there was really no excuse for lying, in my book. But I couldn't say I hadn't told some white ones in my life. Bianca, I don't know. I guess it would just have to depend on the individual scenario. Dex, you don't think it's black and white. Fair enough. Bianca, how has the spotlight once again turned on me? Dex, I think we're beyond the point where there are any rules in this process, Bianca. Bianca, that's true. Come to think of it, I've pretty much broken every journalism ethics rule during this entire experience. Dex, I won't tell anyone if you don't. The published product will be the same in the end. We've just had more fun along the way than most people do. Bianca, you're right. It really hasn't seemed like work at all. Dex, I would even venture to say I'll miss these 11 p.m. chats when we're finished. Miss wasn't the right term for how I felt about the interview process nearing an end. I'd become addicted to talking to Dex. Obsessed. It was as if my entire day revolved around just getting to 11. Bianca, I will too. We'd come to a break in the conversation. It was obvious that our interview had really run its course. I had so much information on this man that I didn't know what to do with it. It couldn't possibly all fit into a 4-page article. There wasn't really a need to continue communicating. But I found him fascinating and would continue our chats for as long as I could get away with. He didn't need to know that I was virtually finished with the piece. His next message threw me for a loop. Dex, what happened to that guy you were dating? That's a good question. I didn't know what had happened with Jay. Bianca, we haven't made plans in a while. Dex, why not? Bianca, I think he's been busy. We've been in touch, but just haven't nailed down any dates to go out. Dex.
You don't sound too devastated.
Bianca. Honestly, between my trip and working on the feature, I haven't had much time to dwell on it. Dex.
You've been too focused on me.
Bianca. You can look at it that way, yes? Dex.
I choose to. Wink emoji.
Bianca. What about you? What's your excuse? Why are you never canceling on me? You must have a bevy of women waiting in the wings. Dex.
Not a bevy, but yes, I don't have to beg for dates.
Bianca. You don't say. Dex.
Want to know the truth, though?
Bianca. Always. Dex.
Lately, I haven't wanted to talk to anyone but you.
I let his words sink in. A flash of heat permeated my body. How was it possible to be so taken with someone I had never even met? I really wanted to see him, more than I'd ever wanted anything. I impulsively typed. Bianca. How about right now? I want to see you tonight. I closed my eyes and cringed at my assertiveness. My heart was pounding as I waited for a reply. It took him a while to respond. Dex.
Not tonight. We agreed to meet at the end, remember?
My emotional state went from hot to cold real fast. He'd implied before that he wanted to date me, yet he keeps avoiding actually meeting me. I needed to call him out. Bianca. I have a feeling there will always be an excuse. The spaces of time between his responses were getting longer and longer. Dex.
I just need to be prepared.
Prepared for what? Bianca.
Prepared?
Dex.
Yes. This time with you has been different from anything I've ever experienced. You know more about me than most people. And I probably know more about you than any of the women I've dated. And yet, I can't seem to get enough. I've exposed myself to you. In more ways than one, practically. This is new for me. Meeting you in person will be intense. And then there's the risk of disappointing you. I think that's my biggest apprehension.
Bianca. How can you possibly disappoint me if I know almost everything about you already? Dex.
You may not like what you see.
Bianca. Let me at least hear your voice then. Dex.
Not yet.
Bianca. Why not? Dex.
You'll hear me soon enough.
Bianca. Do you sound like Mickey Mouse or something? Dex.
No, I can assure you I don't. My testosterone levels are good. I suspect you'll like my voice, actually. LOL. I can't believe you just asked me that.
Bianca. I have to explore all possible reasons why you are hiding. And quite honestly, at this point, you're making me a little self-conscious, Mr. Truitt. Dex.
We're back to formalities now? Don't call me that anymore. We're beyond that. And tell me why you're feeling self-conscious when you have absolutely no reason to be.
Because I was starting to think that his apprehension was really about me. Bianca. There are multiple reasons. I sometimes worry that, despite our online chemistry, you don't really have any intention of meeting me at all. I also worry that our chats have become like a game to you, and sometimes, this is the worst one, I worry that I'm being catfished, that maybe I haven't really been speaking to Dexter Truitt at all. Dex.
I swear to God it's me. I would never do that to you, Bianca. It's me.
I believed him. It was low of me to assert that. That thought had rarely crossed my mind, but deep down, I didn't actually believe it. Bianca.
Okay.
I believe you. I'm sorry. I'm overreacting. I just feel like I've gotten in a little deep when I shouldn't have. This is all so unprofessional.
Dex. Fuck professional. Understand something. I do have concerns about meeting you, but none of them have to do with you. They all have to do with your impression of me.
Bianca. Do you think I'm shallow? Is it your face you're afraid of me seeing? Dex.
No. I know you're not shallow, and it has a little to do with my face, yes.
Well, now I was just totally confused. He thinks he's ugly? Honestly, with a body like that, I'm pretty sure I could overlook it. More than that, It was him I wanted first and foremost, not his body nor his face. Bianca, I'm sorry. I should have never mentioned seeing you. You already agreed to meet with me. I guess I just need to trust that and be patient. Dex, I promise we will meet, Bianca. Don't ever be sorry about asking for what you want, either. I needed to end the chat before I said anything else I would regret. Bianca, I'm going to turn in for the night, if you don't mind. Dex,
I upset you.
Bianca, no, I'm fine. I think I just need to rest. Dex,
okay.
When I didn't reply, he sent another message. Dex,
tomorrow night, same time.
Bianca, yes. Good night, Dex. Dex,
sweet dreams, Bianca.
I shut my laptop and closed my eyes. Feeling completely defeated, I checked my cell phone for any texts from Jay. There were none. But 20 minutes later, there was a knock at the door.
Chapter 9. Dex. Bianca's eyes widened when she saw me standing there. This was a mistake, but I needed to see her. Her eyes looked tired, like maybe she'd been crying. Fuck. I'd hurt her. That's why I came. I needed to know she was okay. Jay, what are you doing here? Instead of answering her, I wrapped my palms around her cheeks and pulled her into a deep kiss, desperately letting out all of the painful frustration that had built up inside of me after our earlier conversation. It was Jay's mouth she thought she was moaning into, but every part of me was kissing her as Dex. I'm so sorry, Georgie girl.